taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. Well, it has happened. The long maligned, often derided, illegal, unconstitutional, immoral, and generally dictatorial OSHA mandates have finally been published. Now, they were published late last week. I have not had a chance to read all of it because it is over 154 pages. Mostly what I've read is legal mumbo-jumbo and gobbledygook. But I did find some very important pieces of information that I want to discuss with you today, just showing that we no longer live in a constitutional republic. We live in an oligarchy because we let it happen. So let's start with, there's so many places to start with. All right, let's start right here. This is actually page two of the regulations as noted in the Federal Register. This is where I got all this information. It's actually from the Federal Register. I'm not dealing with reports about it. I'm dealing with the actual language. And let's start right from the summary. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, is issuing an emergency temporary standard, ETS, to protect unvaccinated employees of large employers, 100 or more employees, from the risk of contracting COVID-19 by strongly encouraging vaccination. Okay, let's stop right there for a second. So first of all, there's a whole bunch of stuff floating around in here, but basically OSHA is saying they have to issue this to protect employees from large companies. First of all, what about employees of smaller companies? Does COVID only attack large companies? Does it ignore those little guys because it's just not worth it? And it says it's trying to protect the unvaccinated employee from the risk of contracting COVID by making them no longer unvaccinated employees. This is legal mumbo jumbo. This is gibberish. This is saying we have to protect the unvaccinated employee by making them no longer unvaccinated. This is nothing to do. Oh, no, we have all this nonsense. We have all this legal mumbo jumbo, and I've been through some of it. It's nauseating. But they're saying, listen, we have to do this because we cannot have unvaccinated employees because, well, they're at risk of contracting COVID. But only large employers, not small, at least not yet. Now, continuing on, covered employers must develop, implement, and enforce a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policy with an exception for employers that instead adopt a policy requiring employees to either get vaccinated or elect to undergo regular COVID-19 testing and wear face covering at work in lieu of vaccination. Now, let's ignore the fact that studies have shown, including in Israel and the UK, that being vaccinated doesn't prevent you from getting vaccine. So the entire premise of this ETS is bogus. It does not protect the unvaccinated from the risk of contracting COVID. It does not. Furthermore, they say, well, okay, if you go through testing, which, by the way, the COVID tests are still emergency use authorization, they haven't received their full FDA approval. And don't forget that those tests that we've relied on for so many of these numbers, well, the CDC had to release new tests because the old tests couldn't tell the difference between COVID and the flu. But he says, no, in order to do this, we have to implement this. Well, all right, let's start. Before we get into the question of, is this a proper, does this make sense? How about we start out with this, is it legal? Now, reading from the executive summary of the ETS, this ETS is based on the requirement of the Occupational Safety and Health Act, OSHA Act or Act, and legal precedent arising under the Act under Section 6 Charlie 1 of the OSHA Act 29 United States Code Section 655 Charlie 1. Under that says, OSHA shall issue an ETS if the agency determines that employees are subject to grave danger from exposure to substances or agents determined to be toxic or physically harmful or from new hazards, and an ETS is necessary to protect employees from danger. So I looked it up, and sure enough, 29 U.S.C. 655 Charlie 1 does say that OSHA will issue an ETS if the agency determines employees are subject to grave danger. Still doesn't explain if they have the authority to do that. If Congress had the authority to actually tell OSHA to do that. Now, I go a little farther down because there's a lot of sections, there's a lot of stuff in here. But one thing I found was this ETS is necessary to protect unvaccinated workers from the risk of contracting COVID-19, including its more contagious variants such as Bravo 6172, in other words, known as Delta variant, at work. And all I could think of as soon as I read that was the quote from William Pitt the Younger. You know the quote. I use it all the time. Necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. We need this. This is necessary. It's necessary. Well, it's necessary to do what? Well, to protect unvaccinated workers. All right, that's just plain horse manure. That's garbage. The unvaccinated workers are unvaccinated because they wish to be unvaccinated. They don't need you to protect them. They've made a decision. This is not a need. This is a bully. This is the government saying, listen, we need to do this for your own good. You're too stupid to make this decision for yourself. You cannot be allowed to decide for yourself. We need to do this for you because you are blithering idiot serfs that cannot think for yourself. Remember what I said, the argument of tyrants? This is the argument of a tyrant. COVID-19 shots are available to anybody who of working age. They're available for free. They're available all over the country. This claim of necessity is simply the claim that says, you're too stupid to do this yourself. We must force you. They say the rule protects workers through the most effective and efficient workplace control available, vaccination. Again, baloney. There are sufficient studies, none of which I've seen quoted so far in this particular document. But again, I haven't read all of it. It's just too long and too full of legal mumbo jumbo. But it is not the most effective and efficient workplace control. It is not. If you want the vaccine, take the vaccine. If you're a healthy human being, if you're not exceptionally old, if you're not infirm, vaccination is not the most effective. Most effective is simply living healthy, getting plenty of vitamin D, vitamin C, some exercise, maybe some zinc. That's the most effective. And in fact, the vaccine exposes you to additional dangers that are, again, not mentioned here. What about the instances of blood clots? What about the instances of infection post-vaccination? Hey, how about that? Again, both Israel and UK have done studies that show their vaccinated are getting sick either as or more frequently than unvaccinated. A recent UK survey, something like 2/3 of those hospitalized were for COVID had already been vaccinated. So again, this is horse pucky. But again, they say that the ETS is necessary because they want you to be vaccinated. It has nothing to do with protecting unvaccinated from grave danger because there is not a grave danger from COVID to most healthy workers. There isn't. Oh, but Paul, 725,000 people have died. Yes, and according, if the CDC numbers hold, 94% of those died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID. Yeah, 94%. 94% died with an average of 2.5 other causes of death. Not other diseases, not other conditions, other causes of death. Now, if I do just a little simple math, that tells me that we've had 43,500, roughly, people who have lost their lives actually from COVID. By the way, where do I get that 94%? That's the CDC admitted it earlier this year. They admitted that their numbers were inflated. And there's been whistleblowers and reports put out talking about how hospitals are encouraged, they're actually paid to mark everything as a COVID infection. You show up to the hospital with a heart attack, you test positive for COVID, they list as a COVID hospitalization. These numbers are inflated, these numbers are garbage. But they still haven't answered the most basic question I have. Right? Where is the United States authorized to do this? Now, I read this, fun and games. It says the Occupational Safety and Health Act is an exercise of Congress's Commerce Clause authority. Okay, let's review the Commerce Clause, not the nonsense that these idiots in Washington are referring. Let's look at the actual Commerce Clause, which is found in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3, which reads, to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. Okay, this obviously isn't regulating a commerce with foreign nations. This isn't regulating commerce at all. What this is regulating employment. So where do they get this brilliant idea that this falls under the Commerce Clause? Well, Congress made it up. Yeah, Title 29, Section 251 of the United States Code says that Congress finds that personal injuries and illness arising out of work situations impose a substantial burden upon and are a hindrance to interstate commerce in terms of lost production, wages, medical expenses, and disability compensation payments. Baloney. This is Congress making up nonsense, trying to take over power they are not authorized to. The occupational safety and health of a business is not interstate commerce. Interstate commerce comes when that business buys or sells across state lines or with foreign nations or with the Indian tribes. This is nonsense. But you see, we've been taught to believe that whatever Congress does is absolutely, if the Congress says it, it's true, this is a lie. This is a violation of the 10th Amendment. Personal injuries and illnesses are not covered in the Constitution. It does not delegate that power to the United States. Therefore, it is not a power of the United States. This was Congress stealing the power from the states and from the people. This is not the supreme law of the land because it was made not pursuant to the Constitution. It violates the Constitution. Lost production, wages, medical expenses, and disability have nothing to do with interstate commerce. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a scam. It is a crime. This is a con, and it's been going on for decades. And because we didn't deal with this when it started, when our parents and grandparents and whoever, I mean, this was started, I believe it was last updated in 1970, according to the law, was last updated in 1970. I was too young to vote back then. But since my parents didn't deal with it and your parents didn't deal with it, now we have them claiming, hey, we can tell you that you need to get a shot to work. I've got an article I've written. It'll be out next week, where I go through the details of the 10th Amendment, the Supremacy Clause, and these mandates. And I go into detail. But let me tell you this. This is baloney. This is nonsense. Congress does not have the authority to regulate employment. I don't care that they say it impacts interstate commerce. Their job isn't to maintain interstate commerce. It is to regulate, to make it regular, not to micromanage it. But you see, we've become serfs. We've become slaves. We believe that anything Congress says is law. Going back to the Federal Register, reading from this, this title under Federalism of all things. It says the agency reviewed this ETS according to Executive Order 13132 on federalism, which requires that federal agencies, to the extent possible, refrain from limiting state policy options, consult with states before taking actions that would restrict state policy options, and take such actions only when clear constitutional authority exists and the problem is of national scope. Well, they failed right there. There is no clear constitutional authority. If you own one of these businesses, if you are a shareholder of one of these businesses, point that out. It is on page, what page is this? It's in the Federal Register, volume 86, Friday, November 5th. It's on page 104 of the document. If you find it, if you want, I'll put a link in the description when it comes out in podcast and ask them, okay, excuse me, where is the clear constitutional authority for you to usurp the power of the states and the people to deprive them of their liberty, of their property without due process of law? Where? It doesn't exist. The Commerce Clause does not authorize Congress to regulate employment. Now, if they want to sell, if that company is selling something across state lines, that sale is can be regulated by Congress. But that doesn't give Congress the authority to control everything that business does just because maybe, possibly, sort of, kind of, it might sell something across state lines or its business might impact interstate sales. It does not. And this is where we end up in this nonsense. This is why, again, we call ourselves the land. How can we be free when our government absolutely refuses to follow the laws that created it? And to add salt to the wound, reading under general consensus, OSHA must consider adopting an existing national consensus standard that differs substantially from OSHA's standard if the consensus standard would better effectuate the purpose of the act. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no national consensus. Don't believe me? Look at the number of people walking out and protesting before this rule was even promulgated. All Joe Biden had to do was have a press conference saying, I'm going to do this. And you've had demonstrations, you've had protests, you've had walkouts. There is not a national consensus. Every justification OSHA has used that I've found so far to create this ETS is built on a lie. This is not federalism. This is not a republic. This is not where the people elect representatives to exercise their power. This is a despotic oligarchy. You have one man, President of the United States, saying, I want to do this. And now it happens. How is this any different than what we fought a revolution for back in 1776? How is it? It's not. Remember, one of the reasons we declared independence was because the king erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. That is exactly what this is. This is the President of the United States sending forth swarms of officers to eat out our substance because he thinks he knows better how we should live our lives. And if we won't do what he says willingly, he is going to throw the boot at us. Well, it's about time we start standing up and throw the boot back. I'm not advocating violence. I'm advocating businesses, employers, employees, everybody stand up and tell the federal government, no, you are not authorized. This is not interstate commerce. This is interstate tyranny. You are committing a federal crime by enforcing this edict, this illegal mandate. Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 242. Whoever, under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom, willfully subjects any person, any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by this Constitution United States, or laws of the United States, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both. And if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of the section, or if such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosives, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Any agent of the federal government that attempts to deprive you of your liberty to live and work as you see fit, to employ your employees as you see fit, to deprive you of control of your property as you see fit, is violating that law. They are committing a federal crime, and you need to hold them accountable. We all need to stand up and say, no, not only will we not comply, we will defend our fellow citizens against this tyranny. And if you mean to have war, if you're going to show up and commit violence against us, well, we'll stand up against it. We need to stand. As Captain John Parker said, stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it begin here. Because if Joe Biden, all by his lonesome, can order you to get take an experimental shot, to be a test guinea pig, a test subject in order to work, we can order you to do anything, can't he? We've been warning about this. This has been coming for years. Every time we simply back up and let them take some more, they come back and let us have it. And we've been warning about it. And now here we have it. You want to work? You have to bend the knee to King Biden. I will not bend the knee to King Biden. And you know what? I'm doing everything I can to avoid supporting business owners that do. You want to bend the knee to King Biden? I'll find someone else to do my shopping. I'll find someplace else to get my car repaired. I'll find some other way to get to where I'm going. Because this is too important. You're telling me that a single person can dictate the employment necessities for the entire country and the American people stand for it? We are no longer the land of the free or the home of the brave then. Oh, sure, there are brave men and women out there. And all of those who have stood against this, I applaud you. Peaceful non-compliance. Don't go along. Refuse to comply with an illegal order, an order that is empty. It is meaningless. It is void. Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen, those are not my words. No, those are the words of Alexander Hamilton and the Supreme Court of the United States. Alexander Hamilton said in Federalist Papers 78, there is no position which depends on clearer principles than that every act of a delegated authority, contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised, is void. Every government official is a delegated authority. They are acting on delegated authority. And what is that commission? The Constitution. So when the Constitution says Congress can regulate interstate commerce, that means interstate commerce, not everything that might possibly sort of kind of touch interstate commerce. Mr. Hamilton goes on, no legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution, can be valid. The legislation that created OSHA cannot be valid. Because its very premise that the fact that people might get injured and that somehow sort of kind of Congress thinks involves interstate commerce is repugnant to the Constitution. It is contrary to the tenor of the commission of that authority. It cannot be valid. It is void. Hampton went on, to deny this would be to affirm that the deputy is greater than the principal, that the servant is above his master, that the representatives of the people are superior to the people themselves. If we sit back and we let this happen, guess what? We're saying that Congress is superior to the people. That Congress, that the executive branch, that the federal government is superior to us. Sure, we created, we ordained and established the Constitution. Our states ratified the Constitution. But we're saying effectively, Washington, D.C. are our rulers. And we are nothing but serfs and subjects and plebes. You want to know why I get so wound up? I am not a serf. I am not a subject. I am not a plebe, and I refuse to live like one. And I refuse to sit by and watch while evil men and women pervert the Constitution of this country without letting the people know about it. Because until we've had enough, just as they did in 1776, until this long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the object designed to reduce us under absolute despotism has gone on long enough, it is our right, it is our duty to throw off such government. As Abraham Lincoln said, the people are the rightful masters of Congresses and courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. It's time we overthrow the men who are perverting the Constitution, the supreme law of the land, and this is an excellent place to start. Because this usurpation, this abuse of the trust we have placed in the men and women of Congress and of the executive branch should be a bridge too far. It should be, it should ignite the passions of liberty in the American people to bulwark our courage, to give us the fortitude to stand up and say no, and to stand with those who are confronted by this tyranny. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the soul of our country. Are you free to live your life as you see fit, or are you a subject of a king in Washington, D.C.? We don't have to fight on the battlefield, but we have to stand up. We have to stand against this, because not only will we pay the price if we don't, but as I've already shown, because our parents didn't stand up when OSHA was created on a bogus excuse, we are suffering. So if we don't stand up here, our children will suffer. Many of them already are suffering. Ladies and gentlemen, what will you do about it? Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, please check out HealthyCell.com. They're the leading innovator in nutritional supplements for cellular health. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. They have multiple formulas. One I like is the Focus and Recall. You know, you get to the end of the day, your mind gets a little fuzzy, and maybe you want to reach for that energy drink or that energy shot with all the caffeine and the sugar that gives you the buzz, followed by a crash. Or don't do that. Try Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall. Simple vitamins designed to boost your short-term focus, help your long-term memory without the buzz, the jitters, or the crash. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just go to HealthyCell.com, use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. That's right. Just use that code OUTLOUD at checkout, and you will get 20% off your first order at HealthyCell.com.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The America Out Loud family is comprised of patriots in the true sense of the word. We know that if America fails, the world will fail. It is incumbent upon us to carry the torch for liberty and the Constitution to help save America for future generations to come. AmericaOutLoud.com. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. I spent the first half of the program talking about this OSHA mandate, this illegal, tyrannical excuse for a regulation that needs to be opposed. I don't simply mean fought in court. I mean actively opposed at the state level, at the city level, at the county level, heck, at your own level. This is not the supreme law of the land. It is not made pursuant to the Constitution. It is a fraud. We need to stand against it. But I can't read it anymore. My blood pressure simply will not take reading this nonsense. But there's so much more going on around this. See, everyone's sitting there going, well, you know, it's big businesses. You know, okay, big businesses may be impacted by this, but what about, you know, I'm not impacted, right? It doesn't bother me, does it? You know, I don't work for a large company, so I don't have to get that. It doesn't hurt me. You have a serious case of what I refer to as Martin Niemöller disease. Now, Martin Niemöller wrote, I don't know if it's a poem, it's an article, back dealing with World War II. He said, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? First, they came for the military and federal workers, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't in the military, and I wasn't a federal worker. And then how many turned around and said, well, then they came for the healthcare worker. And well, we did not speak out because we weren't healthcare workers. Then they came for the large corporations. Many of us did not speak out because, well, we didn't work for large corporations. Then they came for us. And there was no one left to speak for us. Ladies and gentlemen, do you honestly believe that this infringement on your rights, this abuse, this evidence of submitting us to despotism is going to stop with companies with 100 employees or more? See, they've already said OSHA seeks information about the ability of employers with fewer than 100 employees to implement COVID-19 vaccinations and or testing programs. The agency is already looking to see, can we do this with smaller companies? They came after the feds and the military. They came after healthcare workers. They came after the large businesses. They're going to come after you. And if you don't do something now, there won't be anybody left to protect you. Because we all folded. Because we were more worried about, you know, being comfortable, being happy, not rocking the boat. Well, when the tyrants come, it's time to rock the boat. It is time to stand for liberty. It is time to look just as Captain John Parker said, when the British came and told them to disarm, no, we're going to stand our ground. We are free citizens. We have rights. We're going to stop sitting around waiting, hoping that the government will protect us. We're going to stand for our own rights. No. We won't fire unless fired upon. This is peaceful noncompliance. But ladies and gentlemen, they mean to have war. They want to use force against us. We better be prepared to stand. Because bullies don't like it when you stand up to them. But when you do, When you do stand, only then do they even consider backing off. As Benjamin Franklin said, we must all hang together, or assuredly we will all hang separately. Ladies and gentlemen, we must all hang together for our liberty. I don't care if Washington is currently coming after you and your job. You must stand for the liberty of your neighbor. Otherwise, they won't be there to stand with you when yours is under attack. This is not mere hyperbole. This is not ranting. This is an existential threat to your rights, your liberty, your freedom. What are you going to do about it? Now, sure, we've seen demonstrations. I've seen them in L.A., in New York, around the country. We've seen people walking out in protest, students, employees walking out in protest, trucking organizations encouraging their members to stop getting federal contracts because of this. When are we going to join them? How many more? Oh, you haven't heard about these walkouts. I'm not surprised. I'm sure the media isn't covering it that much. But we need to find out. I'm hearing there's an actual planned walkout. There was one last week. There's a planned walkout this week. Are you participating? But Paul, they didn't come to give me a shot. I don't care. If you will not stand for your neighbor's rights, they will not be there to stand for yours. It's more important that we stand for our neighbor's rights. This train of abuses must stop. These usurpations of our rights must stop. When will we say enough is enough? When will we stop bending the knee every time somebody with a government paycheck tells us to? When will we stop acting as servants and slaves? Now, several states have filed lawsuits. Well, all right. But I'm sorry, that's a wimpy response. You're basically saying, excuse me, federal government, protect me from the federal government. You file a case in a federal court. You're admitting that the federal court is superior, that the federal government is superior to the state government, that they rule over you, and you're begging them, pleading them on bended knee to protect your rights. No. It's about time the states start looking Washington in the eye and saying, no, we will not comply. We will not subject our citizens to the tyranny of Washington, D.C. You want to put this in place? We're not implementing it. You want to fine our people? We're going to seize your funds and not allow it. You want to come in here and inspect? You better have a good warrant, because we're going to arrest you for harassment. We'll arrest you for trespass. We'll arrest you for anything we can, because we will not let the federal government do what we have not authorized it to do. So states, if your state is joined one of these lawsuits, ask them what they're going to do. That's not enough. I mean, let's face it, that's like having a burglar break in your door and then begging them not to rob you. This is robbing the states and their people of their rights. Are you going to sit there going, please don't, while the burglar robs you blind? And now, small businesses are getting together. The Job Creators Network filed a suit in the Eighth Circuit to block the implementation of the mandate. Well, then again, you're begging the federal government to protect you from the federal government. States created the federal government. We, the people, created the federal government. We don't need their permission to tell them what the limits of their power are. We did that with the Constitution. It is time we start overturning the people who pervert the Constitution. They're not going to do it for us. If you're begging the federal government to protect you from the federal government, they are incented not to. Every judge on the Eighth Circuit owes their position to Washington, D.C. They were appointed by a president. They were confirmed by a Senate. They are held accountable by Congress. What makes you think they're going to stand up and poke Joe Biden in the eye? How about we get together and say, no, we refuse. Not only we will not do these tests. We refuse to pay these fines. We'll find other ways of doing business if we have to. But if we're going to have a criminal thug government in Washington, we are not going to participate. We're not going to support them. We're not going to say it's okay. We're going to point out just how criminal these actions are, and we're going to stand our ground. And when the law enforcement comes, we'll point out, hey, you're depriving us of our liberty. You are committing a federal crime. How about we start making plans to submit criminal complaints to the U.S. Attorney's Office in every district for any implementation of this? How many lawyers are doing that? How many of us have talked to someone in the FBI or the U.S. Attorney's Office saying, you do realize that this is a crime, Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. You're depriving us of our rights without due process. This is not interstate commerce. There is no way on God's green earth that you can call this interstate commerce. I don't care what Congress said. They're full of idiots. People who think they can get away with whatever they want, they can twist whatever words they want to make it seem like this is interstate commerce. This is not. This is regulating your life, regulating your business, regulating your job. If they can experiment on you for a disease, you have a 98.6% chance of surviving. If they can deprive you of your bodily autonomy, your right to your own body, to make health decisions for yourself, to ignore your individual situation, if they can completely ignore due process, if they can do that, what can't they do? How can you look yourself in the mirror and say you're free if the government gets to tell you when to take a jab? How can you call yourself free when you live at the whim of a guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? How can you call us the land of the home of the brave if we're too cowardly to stand up and say no? To look our creation in the eye and say, no, we are your masters. We set your boundaries. We did not consent. You are perverting the Constitution. But you see, we won't. Because first we were bribed into servitude. Then we were sold into slavery. See, the government said, listen, let us do these unconstitutional things. We'll provide for you. We'll provide for your old age. We'll provide welfare. We'll provide basic income. We'll take care of you. We'll protect you. We'll provide for you. All it'll cost you are your rights and your liberties, your very freedom. The very thing that made America unique, everything that made us special, everything that made us exceptional, that's all it'll cost you. And we sold it. We sold our liberty for the promise of safety. Gee, where have I heard that before? Benjamin Franklin said, they who would give up essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty or security. Ladies and gentlemen, we have given up our essential liberties for a false promise of temporary security. It's been proven false. Government hasn't helped the poor. They haven't helped the needy. They haven't helped the oppressed. Well, they have some. I can't say they haven't done any. But we have just as many poor people as we did before. Now, they live better than most of the rest of the world, but that's still not enough for them, is it? They said, give us the ability to take care of you in your old age. All it's going to cost you is your essential liberty for the security of being taken care of in your old age. And look at where it leads us. Social Security is going bankrupt because it's a Ponzi scheme. The only reason it's not illegal is because government did it. You talk about security, our southern borders being invaded? Our energy security has been gutted? We went from a net producer of energy to a net consumer of energy? We have ever more racial strife. We have ever more social strife. We sold our liberty for a vapid, vacuous promise of security. To be blunt, I don't know if the American people deserve liberty or security as a whole now, because they sold their liberty for the bowl of pottage of an empty promise of politicians. No. If we want our liberty back, if we think we deserve our liberty, then let's stop giving up our essential liberties for it. If we think we deserve security, then let's stop looking to someone else to protect us. Let's do it ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the future of America. What will you do? Will you comply? Will you validate the fact that you've now been sold into slavery? If you look and say, well, you know, I can't do something, they might punish me. I might go on a list. I might be arrested. I might be audited. The federal government's going to pick on me. If you're waiting for the federal government to provide for you, then you're a slave to the federal government. Oh, but we have to be, we can't be kind. We can't stand up against, then you're a slave to the government. Well, I don't want to give up, this program or that program. I'm dependent on Social Security or welfare or the unemployment or the OBI they're promising. I'm dependent on that. Then you're a slave. I know those are unpleasant words, but they're necessary words. If you must beg the government to exercise your rights, you're a slave. Now, the good news is you don't have to be a slave. You don't have to sit and accept the crumbs from the master's table. Yes, there will be risk. Yes, there will be dangers. And yes, many will pay a high price. The founders of this country, our founding fathers, pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Will we pledge our lives, fortunes, and our sacred honor to each other, to the cause of liberty? I don't necessarily mean dying for liberty. How about we live for liberty? How about we stop living as subjects of a tyrannical government? How about we start depending on ourselves? How many ways can we do this? There have to be millions of ways. I'm sure there are thousands of people out there that in their mind right now is a way that we can divorce ourselves from dependence on the federal government. How about we start sharing that information? How about we start creating our own committees of correspondence? How about the Tea Party stop being a group that just says, we don't like the taxes? How about we stand up and challenge these illegal laws and mandates? How about we pledge our fortunes? This is, we won't support those who take away our rights. I don't care if it's a political person, a business, or an individual. How about we pledge that we will only spend money with those who protect our rights rather than destroy our rights? How about we start putting up banners in our businesses that says, we respect your rights. No vaccine, no mask, no problem. How about we patronize those businesses? You tell me you're going to protect my rights, I'm more likely to patronize you. How about we do that? How about we stop acting like scared little children, afraid that our parents are going to come give us a spanking? How about we realize that the government is our child, not the other way around? We created the federal government. The preamble of the Constitution says, we the people ordained and established the Constitution. That created the federal government. The states ratified the Constitution, making it legally binding, making it the supreme law of the land, which says OSHA can't do this. The Washington, the United States, cannot do what they are currently doing. That it is not the supreme law of the land. I don't care what Jen Psaki says. I can prove it. Again, I'm going to have an article out Monday. How about we start acting like free citizens? How about we restore the honor of treating each other like citizens? Of allowing each other to disagree, but working together where we agree? How about we stop trying to force other people to comply with our wishes, allow them to live free? How about we act honorably and say, we will not bow to tyrants, even in our own government. We will not yield to tyranny, even though it cost us. That if you are under attack for living as a free person, I will come to your defense. I will stand with you. There's a couple of videos that came out earlier, I think it was earlier this year, of two instances of citizens standing for their rights in the face of law enforcement. One of them got dragged away in handcuffs. The other stood firm and law enforcement left. The difference was simple. The person carted away in cuffs stood alone. The person standing and victorious in that encounter had the support of their customers. Those words were not simply for 1776. This idea of pledging to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor didn't die in the 18th century. We need to make sure that we resurrect them here in the 21st century. Otherwise, the United States will go the way of every other nation, and it will crumble. Not from the outside, not from invasion, but from our own internal apathy. As James Garfield said, if the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces. Ladies and gentlemen, if the 21st century does not find America a great nation, it'll be because those of us in culture, those of us in society, those of us who establish morality, do not aid in controlling the political forces. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. Freedom is dying in America. And sadly, we are, as a people, are sitting back and watching it happen. Maybe we're going tisk tisk. Maybe we've got some, lamentation or some pining for the good old days. But way too many of us are sitting on our backsides hoping someone else will save us. That is why this OSHA regulation was promulgated. That is why one man in Washington claims the power to control your life. That is why America and the idea of freedom and liberty and rights are dying. Because when the torch was passed to us to protect them, to fight for them, to defend them, the American people couldn't be bothered. And now, as the sacred fire of liberty gutters and is about to go out, the American people are once again bended knee, hands held up. Please, government, save us from yourself, because we're too weak, too impotent, too cowardly, or just plain too dependent to do it for ourselves. Now, if that describes you, you have my pity. If that infuriates you, come join us. Head to constitutionstudy.com, find more information. Head to constitutionscholars.com, join others that are reading and studying the Constitution so that we can defend our rights. But don't think a keyboard warrior whining and crying on Twitter and Facebook are going to make a bit of difference to the man at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, to the men and women in the executive branch, the legislative branch, or the judicial branch. Because right now, they're not afraid of you. Until they are, they will continue to rule. You can find out more about my show and get all the latest podcasts. Go to AmericaOutloud.com. Under the menu, just look for Our Shows or Schedule. You'll be in the know, and you can help secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends every day.